This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Do you know about the true crimes that inspired a Bruce Springsteen album? Or the murders AC/DC was blamed for? How about Taylor Swift's violent stalkers? Or the suspicious deaths of Brittany Murphy and River Phoenix? These stories and more are told in the Disgraceland podcast, hosted by me, Jake Brennan, every Tuesday, where I dive deep into subjects from the dark side of music history and entertainment. So follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Soccer tonight.
Tune in as Jason Longshore gives you insight and analysis on the beautiful game, including headlines from around the world of soccer.
Rebound, goal!
This is Atlanta Soccer Tonight, brought to you by your local Ford dealer and Firehouse Subs. Enjoy more subs, save more lives.
Atlanta Soccer Tonight is on Sports Radio 92.9, The Game. Here's Jason Longshore.
Let's kick it. Atlanta Soccer Tonight is live on 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app. I'm Jason Longshore. Welcome to our weekly show. We talk soccer in Atlanta, Georgia, the Southeast, the United States, the Hemisphere, the world. It's what we do. It's Atlanta Soccer Tonight. We got a lot of Atlanta soccer to talk about. Atlanta United 1-0 in 2025. We'll get into that deep into segment number one. We'll get into the storylines around Major League Soccer in week one in our second segment. And look, y'all know how the show ends by now. The 3-4-3, three local stories, four headlines, three things that make me smile. That's segment number three on AST. But segment number one, it's Atlanta United, a 3-2 kind of all over the place win on Saturday night at the Benz in front of 65,000 folks. The third largest crowd in the world on Saturday. Something that you really shouldn't take for granted, even though it's happened a number of times now in Atlanta United's history. This was the opener for season number 9 for Atlanta United, and they have quite a few crowds of over 60,000 people at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. It's crazy when you take that step back and think about that. The game, like I said, it was all over the place. It was very good in moments. I think very potential filled in moments. Very frustrating in moments, too. Montreal's a much better team than they get credit for. I tried to set that table last week when we talked about this game coming up. This was a team that last year, when we were watching everything play out on decision day, they were a team I did not want to see in that wild card game, and it went down to penalties. It was a team that scared me in that regular season match late in the season that put you into jeopardy on decision day. It's a very well-coached team under Laurent Courtois, and what impressed me the most about them in this game is they are nowhere near full strength at the moment. Their number 9, Giacomo Vrioni, has not been able to join them yet after coming over in a deal with the New England Revolution. They're missing other pieces as well. Guys just arriving late, injuries to Jalen Neal from his time with the U.S. men's national team. And a lot of times when you see teams on the road that are underdogs to begin with and then missing a lot of familiar faces, they park the bus. We've seen Montreal do that in the past. They get very, very, very defensive and very cynical. And this Montreal team did not do that at all. They tried to play. They played very well. They came back twice to tie the game. Atlanta went ahead three times, and the last one stuck, a brilliant goal from Edwin Mosquera. Let's start with Ronnie Dyla and what he had to say after the match on Saturday night. Just his basic thoughts about kind of, again, the all over the placeness of this match. Here's Ronnie Dyla speaking to the media after the match on Saturday.
I think the first half was excellent, defending and attacking. And as a half, I really enjoyed watching as a coach. Second half is very hard to watch as a coach. I'm sure very nice to see for those who love football, but for me it was very open. And we couldn't connect passes together in the same way that we did in the first. I think we get a little bit shock, maybe not shock, but a little bit when we get a goal very early in the first second half against us. What is good, we had an unbelievable resilience in the team. We come back three times after we've been a league lead, and we get the 3 points in the end in the first game with so much attention before the game, and we want to really, really show ourselves. So, and again, I'm proud of the boys, what they did. I think it was, there was a game of two halves, and I think Montreal is a team that many are going to struggle with because they are very organized. They play open, good football. They are a year in front of us when it comes to playing over time together. Mm-hmm. So that you can see. Massive 3 points and unbelievable atmosphere.
A lot to unpack there from Ronnie Dyla speaking after the win on Saturday night. He used the word resilience. I used perseverance a lot late in the match. Kind of same thing here. This was a team in Atlanta United that, I wonder if they would have had that resilience last season where they take the lead in the first half after a really good first half. But they only get the one goal, and then Montreal comes out and scores early in the second half. And I agree, it felt like it was a little bit of a shock to the system. Atlanta righted themselves, took the lead again, then conceded again, then found the lead the third time. That makes me feel like there's growth in this group. That makes me feel like maybe personality-wise, this team is a little more resilient, is a little tougher in handling some of those difficult moments. First half was great. You needed more than one goal out of it. And that's something that I'm not too worried about with this team in general, because I really like the firepower in it. I really like the attacking ability in this group. I think they're going to be okay on the goal scoring side, but with that much control and that much dominance in the first 45, you need a couple goals out of that, because when you don't get it, you open that door, or at least you leave that door open for the opponents to be able to come back into the game. And I thought the subs that Courtois made, bringing Pierce on, bringing Duke on, really made them more balanced and really changed the game and made it tougher for Atlanta. Game was a little too wide open in the second 45. Here's Mateusz Klich from the locker room on Saturday with his takeaways from this match.
Obviously, our defense, playing in defense, and as a collective, as a team, we need to improve on that, because everyone could see today that we can go forward, and we have good players, and we just need to keep the ball longer and have more control of the game. But that, as I said, we have a new team, and we need to get each other, know each other.
I want to go back to something that Klich said there, and I want to go back to something that I've talked about during preseason. And I think, as I said, I believe after the Birmingham game, and probably repeated a few times, I'm going to repeat it again. I think this season is really going to be an interesting push-pull between being vertical and being aggressive in getting forward while leaving yourself open, and controlling games a little bit more. I don't know where the scale is going to fall. I think what we're seeing from Ronnie Dyla and what he wants is very aggressive. But I think what you're going to see over time evolve is a balance between aggressiveness and a little more control, especially as the game goes on, especially as the legs get a little bit heavier, especially as the opponent starts to come into the game a little bit, because you're never going to control 90 minutes. You're never going to be on top of everything for 90 minutes. I thought the first 45, Atlanta was pretty much on top of the game and playing in the way that they wanted to play. As they got more tired and as Montreal got better, I think you needed to add a little more control. And keeping the ball at times is going to be that interesting balancing act here for Atlanta United. It will be a fascinating tale as we go throughout the 2025 season. One other element to this match that I think is very important, and I'll dig a little deeper into after this clip, is Matt Edwards, Ronald Hernandez starting at fullback. It was Matt Edwards' first start in Major League Soccer. Here's what he had to say after the conversation, or after the match in the locker room with myself and Mike Conti, about making his first start. Here's Matt Edwards.
Yeah, I mean, it kind of hit me when the game was done a little bit. You know, you work hard to get to these moments, but I don't feel anything yet just because, you know, it wasn't the best game from all of us, wasn't the best game from me, but, you know, just looking to improve, and that's all you can really do as a professional.
I thought Edwards was pretty good. I thought he was pretty good in this game. He looked like a player making his first start. I think the element for Atlanta United that you have to keep in mind about where they will go as they evolve in 2025. Brooks Lennon, Pedro Amador, who were both part of training today. Lennon further away from Amador, but I don't know how much further away from Amador, to be honest. Both were pretty involved. Both looked to be in pretty good fitness. Lennon was not involved in the more contact-oriented things. That's going to be the question for him with his shoulder, but fitness-wise, looks pretty good. So that will help you once he gets the all clear on the contact. But when you get Lennon and you get Amador back into this team, I think it's going to affect not just the defense per se. I don't think it's going to have a situation where you're going to be locked down defending with your back four all the time. What I think it does from a defensive perspective is you're going to be better attack-wise with Lennon and Amador because they're both going to stretch the field wide. When you have inverted wingers like Almiron and Saba who want to cut inside on their dominant foot, that takes away some width naturally. Lennon and Amador will give you that. I don't think Edwards and Hernandez gave you as much of that as you'd like to have to make your offense function even better. And when your offense is functioning even better, it's going to force teams back even more, and they're not going to be able to attack as much. So you help your defense by not sitting back to defend, if that makes sense. I think that's where this is going to go over time. Once you get Lennon and Amador back in, or once you get Hernandez and Edwards comfortable enough to contribute more in the attack. And I'm really curious to see this weekend against Charlotte, because if Charlotte plays Tim Ream as a left back, you're not going to see him get forward a ton. That might give Matt Edwards a little more opportunity to push the game a little bit higher up the field. He has the ability, and I thought he showed in preseason that he's getting better at picking out those passes and being more of a contributor in the attacking third. All right. I want you to hear a little bit from Dean Smith, the manager of Charlotte FC. They went on the road and they got a really good result in terms of what it looks like on the board with a draw in Seattle. Well, the gaffer was not very happy about the performance of his team, Charlotte, in this game. Here's what Dean Smith had to say afterwards in Seattle.
I've just said to the players, I take no satisfaction out of even just getting a point today. The performance was nowhere near our levels. They were a better team. They deserved to win. But it was a poor night. I thought they ran harder than us. And we're lucky to come away with a point today.
Pretty harsh from Dean Smith. Not taking any satisfaction out of getting a result in a building that could be housing the Western Conference champions in 2025. It's a little harsh. I don't know about that approach. I'll be curious to see what the reaction is from Charlotte players to hearing that. I didn't get to see the entire match live. It's a match that I haven't had a chance to sit down entirely with. It felt harsh from what I saw. There was more. This is, in a follow-up question, this is what Dean Smith had to say about the performance.
I just thought we were miles off it. Listen, take nothing away from Seattle. I thought they were good. There were moments in the first half when we played through them quite well. I just don't think we weren't. We never pressed as a team today, and that was the problem. And they had good possession because we never pressed as a group. And if you don't do that, then players, you know, teams will be able to play through you, and they played through us too easy today.
I'm really curious to see if Charlotte comes out and presses better, more effectively against Atlanta. And I'm really curious to see where that possession battle goes. Charlotte's going to have to be more on the front foot at home in front of what we expect to be a large crowd at Bank of America Stadium. If they get higher up the field, Atlanta with their pace, I think it could be a very, very interesting game, and one that will favor Atlanta United if Charlotte is a little too much like Dean Smith is kind of hinting he wants to see. Going to be a fascinating one. Dean Smith will have to get his crew ready. Ronnie Dyla will get his crew ready. We will be there at Bank of America Stadium on Saturday. Pregame coverage will start at 1 o'clock on 92.9 The Game in the Odyssey app. Kickoff will be just after 2 o'clock on Saturday. Coming up in the next segment on Atlanta Soccer Tonight, we're going to bounce around Major League Soccer Week 1, the storylines you need to know about after 1 week of play in the 30th season of Major League Soccer. That's coming up after the break on Atlanta Soccer Tonight on 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app.
When it comes to the world of soccer, we've got you covered.
This is Atlanta Soccer Tonight with Jason Longshore
on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Welcome back. It's Atlanta Soccer Tonight, live on 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app. I'm Jason Longshore. Segment one, we talked about Atlanta United and their 3-2 win over CF Montreal in week one. Looked ahead to game two up the road, up I-85 in Charlotte. Expecting a really big crowd there. I know they'd love to have more than 65,000 in the building. They'd love to beat that number that Atlanta set in week one. We'll see. I think they're going to get a lot of help from some folks wearing red and black stripes. Really curious to see how many people make the trip up to Charlotte. I expect there will be quite a few making noise. It's been a place that Atlanta United has had some success over the years on these trips. Let's bounce around Major League Soccer in week one. Maybe you didn't get a chance to see some of the other matches around the league. I thought it was a good start to the regular season in the league. And we're going to go from west to east to get you caught up. We're going to go from the last game of the weekend backwards. That last game was the debut for team number 30 in Major League Soccer, San Diego FC. They were dominant. They were the better team by far against the defending MLS Cup champions, LA Galaxy. A 2-0 win, it probably should have been more. Anders Dreyer, the Danish forward, scored twice in the second half. One of them really late. I think San Diego was better than the scoreline indicated. He was named the player of the match day. They were really good. They were very organized. LA was disappointing as well. And what's going to be interesting is over time, does LA get better? Does San Diego continue at this kind of a level? We'll get a good test on Saturday night. It'll be a 10:30 Eastern time kickoff. San Diego hosting St. Louis in their home opener at Snapdragon Stadium in San Diego. Saturday night, 10:30 Eastern time. Another team who was very dominant and maybe not as dominant as the scoreline indicated, the San Jose Earthquakes. The Bruce Arena era is underway for the Quakes, and people expected some fireworks with this. I don't know if that would be on the field, off the field, in the locker room, in the coach's office. No telling. And you might get all of the above before the season's over. But it was a 4-0 win for San Jose over RSL. Bruce Arena said, you know, look, we were a little fortunate. RSL was tired after coming in after CONCACAF. We weren't as good as the scoreline indicated. Christian Espinoza was very good. 2 assists, his 10th multi-assist match in his San Jose career. I want to see how Arena continues to use him. Arena caught everybody by surprise, playing in a bit of a 3-4-1-2 in this match. Not his usual MO. And Espinoza was in kind of a wingback role. not his usual position. Thrived in it. We'll see if it's just a one-off or if that's where you kind of see him for Bruce Arena with the Quakes. Arena also joined a very exclusive club of two now. Rob Bradley is the other one. Coaches in Major League Soccer history to win games with five different clubs. LAFC, they got off to a great start in regular season play. 8-0 in season openers in their history, the longest such streak in the league's history. Jeremy Abobase got the winner in a 1-0 win over Minnesota. And I mentioned Bob Bradley when we talk about Bruce Arena and what he's done. LAFC is so different than they were under Bob Bradley. I mean, it is night and day. Absolutely night and day. The craziest transformation from a wide open attacking team that you always wondered, can they defend well enough to win anything? And they didn't win the big trophy. Steve Cherundolo comes in and he did win the big trophy, but Cherundolo has, in my opinion, gotten even more defensive as his time has gone on in charge of LAFC. Maybe it'll work. Maybe it won't. But LAFC have never lost in a season opener in their history. Vancouver, this was another team that was dominant, was, I think, equal to the score line in this one. Jaden Nelson had three assists. He scored the other goal. Vancouver 4-0 win in Portland. Really bad opener for the Timbers and Phil Neville. Our first half red card for Portland, it was the right call. It was denial of an obvious goal scoring opportunity. You had to make that call. Brian White, I think, caught the defender by surprise, kind of cutting back across him. It was very savvy from the Whitecaps forward. Vancouver took full advantage of the extra space on the pitch. Nelson flying up and down the right side. This is a good Vancouver team. It's going to be interesting to see how different they look without Vanni Sartini there. Portland is better than they were. I think there are a lot of questions about how good they can be with Evander now in Cincinnati and David Da Costa as their number 10. He came off the bench in this one. I don't really know if this game is a true representation of either one of these teams yet. I need to see a little bit more from both of them, but Jaden Nelson is one to watch for the Whitecaps. He's the third player in MLS history to have four goal contributions in his club debut. Brian Ching and Dwayne De Rosario did it in the same match, actually, the first game ever for the Houston Dynamo in 2006. Ching scored four goals and De Rosario assisted on four goals. So Nelson didn't pull that off. He did mix it up, three assists and one goal in this one. All right, let's move over to the Eastern Conference as we get caught up on the storylines from week one in Major League Soccer. I'm Jason Longshore. This is Atlanta Soccer Tonight. Let's talk about some of those big storylines out of the East. Columbus Crew, a team that I do still have questions about. I just wonder if Jason Russell Rowe and not Cucho Hernandez and not Christian Ramirez, I wonder if they have enough firepower. Diego Rossi stepped up in a big way, and you know, look, maybe he makes some of that difference up. The Crew found a way back into this game. I thought Chicago and Greg Berhalter's team started really well. Brian Gutierrez had a great start, gets a couple of goals. Columbus made their adjustments. And look, that's something that Wilfred Nancy is going to do on a regular basis. I think he is either the best or one of the best managers in Major League Soccer. And I've always been impressed with his ability to make those tactical tweaks to get the best out of his team. He did it here, and it was a move that, look, we've seen before with Steven Moreira popping up higher up the field in those dangerous spots and finding ways to make kind of unbalanced situations. Chicago didn't handle it well. Columbus took advantage. They come back to get the big win on opening day. Let's move to the other team in Ohio, FC Cincinnati. A team that, again, I still have some questions about. They had a good CONCACAF game in the midweek. And then they get a really important win against the MLS Cup runners-up last year, the New York Red Bulls, a team that I'm very high on. Cincinnati will be an interesting watch to see, and it's unfair to Evander But when you're replacing a club legend, a league legend like Luciano Acosta, there's always going to be that comparison. Can Evander be good enough for this FC Cincinnati team? How is he different from Lucho Acosta? And I think one thing that can work to his advantage will be, I think he's just more willing on the defensive end. And look, it doesn't mean that Acosta is a bad player or bad teammate. It just doesn't suit him. It suits Evander a little bit more. But can he give you everything that Lucho gave Cincinnati on the ball? That's going to be the question. We'll see. Work in progress. But Cincinnati get off to a big start with a win over the Red Bulls 1-0. Philadelphia. I did not have this on my bingo card in week one. Philadelphia Union going to Orlando, who got to the Eastern Conference final last year, and winning 4-2. Now, Orlando did have more expected goals, but a lot of those expected goals came after Philadelphia had a big lead. The pressure from Philadelphia caused turnovers from Orlando. Orlando was missing Robin Johnson, a late scratch. Bradley Carnell's the new manager in Philadelphia. He has a lot of similarities to Jim Curtin, but he's not Jim Curtin. Is that good or bad? He had the team playing in something that we have seen Philadelphia play before, but is a little more of a hallmark of Carnell, a little more of a hallmark of the Red Bulls and Carnell's teams in St. Louis, more of a 4-2-2-2, a box midfield as opposed to a diamond. A diamond gives you flexibility. A box can give you flexibility. It, as I tell you all the time when we talk about formations in soccer, that's how it's going to look when you kick off. I think what you're looking for here, if you're Bradley Carnell in that box, is a little more solidity in the middle of the field with the two lines of two midfielders. I'm curious to see if Philadelphia can keep this kind of play up. Carnell went to St. Louis, had a great, great start, had a great first season, and it tailed off pretty fast. Is that going to happen in Philadelphia? Or with some of the new additions, Ty Baribo with two goals in this one, is Philadelphia a team that maybe we need to watch a little bit more closely in the Eastern Conference? I didn't have them as a playoff team in 2025. They might make me my words. We will see. Daniel Gazdag, he scored in the last three season openers for the Philadelphia Union. Let's go to Miami. It was a 2-2 draw for Inter Miami against New York City. They had a first half red card. They came back and got a super late equalizer to finish 2-2. All kinds of contentiousness. I'm not 100% sure that's a word, but I'm going to go with it. To the point that Lionel Messi was arguing with the referee after the final whistle, had to be pulled away, went back to argue some more. And then Mehdi Bolucci, who's the assistant coach for New York City, said something as Messi was walking off the field. Messi went back to him. They get into it a little bit, arguing back and forth. And Messi grabbed him and kind of like pinched him on the back of the neck. I mean, I don't know if he was going for the Vulcan nerve pinch or what, but it was noticeable. It wasn't a choke. It wasn't anything like that. So you do have to put it in its proper context. Definitely not something you typically see out of Lionel Messi, and not something you should see out of any player, and he was fined for it. But it gets into this idea, and Messi and Miami had a big win tonight in CONCACAF Champions Cup. We'll talk about that a little bit more in the next segment in the 3-4-3. I think this Miami team feels the pressure that they're under. You know, Tata Martino's gone. It's Javier Mascherano. He's going to put them under pressure, too. That's how he was as a player. I would assume that's how he's going to be as a manager. They won the Supporters' Shield, and we've talked about it, and I know it might upset some people. I think the Supporters' Shield, with the unbalanced schedule that Major League Soccer plays, is a very good accomplishment, but it's not League's Cup. It's not the Open Cup. It's not MLS Cup. So they won the fourth most important trophy. CONCACAF would factor in there as well. The fifth most important trophy that they play for. They won that one. But they got eliminated from the playoffs a lot earlier than anybody expected. And now they really need to go win things. Multiple things. Or at least MLS Cup. If they only win one trophy. Because Messi is not going to find the Fountain of Youth in South Florida. He's 37. Luis Suarez is not going to find new knees in South Florida. I don't know how functional his are. He's able to play through it, and he's able to be very, very good. But that will wane over time. Jordi Alba will find father time. Sergio Busquets, I think father time might slap him in the face on a more regular basis than he'd like to admit. This is a Miami team that is still incredibly good, but this is a Miami team. And I think you saw it in Messi's actions, and I think you've seen it in some other faces and just the way things have played out. This is a Miami team that will feel the pressure of they got to win trophies or at least the big, big one, MLS Cup, at the end of the season. Or the project could possibly be considered a failure overall. It's crazy. They got a Leagues Cup. They got a Supporter Shield. They don't win MLS Cup, or if they don't win multiple trophies, and CONCACAF would probably need to be one of those. You could look at this whole project as a failure when it comes to Inter Miami and Lionel Messi and friends. All right, quickly, around MLS this weekend, RSL hosts Seattle, a game that RSL really has to bounce back. I think there's some pressure on Seattle as well there. New England hosting Columbus in the 7:30 games. Red Bull hosting Nashville. That's an opportunity for Red Bulls to get right, in my opinion. Orlando's got that as well as they host Toronto. Philadelphia hosting Cincinnati will be one of the must-watch games at 7:30. Chicago hosting D.C. at 8:30. You might want to skip it. Kansas City hosting San Jose at 8:30. I do want to see if the Quakes can continue on the run that they're on. I want to see if Montreal can go and give Minnesota a game. That's an 8:30 kick on Saturday. Colorado hosting Dallas. I think that could be a sneaky good game. LAFC and New York City, that's the first of the 10:30s. Portland and Austin, a lot of pressure on Phil Neville and the Timbers as they host Austin. San Diego hosting St. Louis. Is San Diego for real? Maybe we'll get a better sense of that Saturday night. And then two games on Sunday, Vancouver hosting an LA Galaxy team that's going to be feeling the pressure after a bad opening week performance. And the Houston Dynamo hosting Miami in what could be another sneaky good game, a rematch of the 2023 U.S. Open Cup final that the Dynamo went to Fort Lauderdale and won. Looking forward to week number two around Major League Soccer. Looking forward to the next segment as well. It's the 3-4-3, three local stories, four headlines, three things that make me smile about this game that I love so much. Coming up after the break on Atlanta Soccer tonight on 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app.
It's time to wrap up tonight's show with the 3-4-3.
3-4-3.
Three local stories, four headlines from around the world, and three things that made you smile about the game.
Atlanta Soccer Tonight is on Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
Welcome back. It's time for the 3-4-3 on Atlanta Soccer Tonight. And as always, it's brought to you by Ford. Visit your local Ford dealer. Three local stories, four headlines, three things that make me, Jason Longshore, smile about this game that I love so much. Let's start on the local side. Numero uno, Atlanta United 2, the season opener for the Twos. Right around the corner, it's next Friday night in Kennesaw against New York Red Bulls 2. I can highly, highly, highly recommend making the trip up to Fifth Third Stadium for that one. If you want to see really good soccer up close, intimate atmosphere, and also see some of the future stars and maybe some of the current young stars of Atlanta United, make your way up to Kennesaw next week. Atlanta United 2 announced two signings today. One, not really a surprise, Ronan Wynn. He played with Atlanta United in preseason with the first team quite a bit. He would count as an international, and Atlanta United, as Garth Lagerwey and Chris Henderson have spoken about, don't have any international spots currently. He would need one. So he's going to sign a contract with Atlanta United 2. He was drafted in the second round out of the University of Denver, originally from New Zealand, a player that I'm really impressed with. He was a reserve for the New Zealand U23s at the 2024 Paris Olympics. And I think he's got MLS ability. This is a way for him to continue to develop and get consistent playing time in MLS Next Pro. The Twos also announced the signing of Nick Sesok, who, 24 years old, played in the Philadelphia Union Youth Development Academy, spent two seasons at the University of Pittsburgh, transferred to Indiana, where he played three seasons. He got the COVID year, so he got the fifth year in college. 58 games played at Indiana, started 52 of them, and he played the last 2 years in MLS Next Pro for Inter Miami 2. Saw him training at times with the first team in preseason as a fullback. So two potential fullback options for Atlanta United 2 for the 2025 MLS Next Pro season. And make sure you're following our kind of nephew, I guess, to Atlanta Soccer Tonight, the SDH Network, nephew, cousin, I don't know. We will have a preview pretty in-depth next week of the Atlanta United 2 squad and season. You're going to hear from a lot of familiar faces there. All right, let's get caught up on girls high school action. It's our number two item in the 3-4-3 on the local side. Scores from around the state. Greater Atlanta Christian, 5-0 winners at home over Dawson County. GAC stays unbeaten in 2025. Dooley County, they won 2-1 at Wheeler County. Lanier, they stay unbeaten, 5-0-0 with a 4-1 win at home over Providence Christian. South Forsyth, 5-0 win at home over Collins Hill. North Oconee, They go to 4-1-0 with a 7-0 road win over Madison County. Jefferson, they won at home 2-1 over Norcross, a team to watch when you talk about state title contenders. Rome, they won 4-1 on the road over Heritage Ringgold. Midtown, a 2-0 win at home over Riverwood. Brookwood go to 5-0 with a 5-1 win at home over Denmark, or on the road at Denmark. Northgate, they remain unbeaten with a 3-1 home win over Stars Mill. Let's bounce over to the boys' side. Hillgrove, a 1-0 win at Carrollton, first loss of the year for Carrollton. North Cobb, 3-1 win at home over Campbell. Landmark Christian, they stay undefeated with a 3-2 win at Whitewater. Cedartown, they remain undefeated as well, 6-2 win on the road at Coosa. Calhoun, first win of the season, 3-1 at home over Gordon Central. Wesleyan, 7-0 win at home over Holy Innocents. Norcross, 3-3 draw at Jefferson. Norcross won the post-game penalty shootout. Druid Hills, they won 2-1 at Maynard Jackson. Parkview, a 2-0 win at Buford. Johnson Gainesville, 7-0 win at home over Cherokee Bluff. Johnson Gainesville, the Knights, they went up to Dalton on Friday night. Really good game, but Dalton got the win in that one. Johnson, after losing two in a row, they get their second win of the season tonight. South Forsyth, 1-0 win at home over Collins Hill. LaGrange, 3-0 win on the road at Upson Lee. Sequoia, 3-0 win at home over Forsyth Central. North Forsyth, they got a win at home over East Hall. Berkmar, they won 2-1 at Discovery. Bremen, 2-0 win on the road at Cartersville. Lassiter, a 5-0 win at home over Etowah. I was trying to get the other game, and I don't have a final on it here for you with Riverwood and Midtown. That one ended just a little bit ago. All right, it's Atlanta Soccer Tonight. It's the 3-4-3. We're into the headlines, the four section of the 3-4-3, the midfield, if you will. CONCACAF Champions Cup updates. Miami, they advance. They won 3-1 tonight, walloping Kansas City in Fort Lauderdale. They won 4-1 on aggregate. Messi with a volleyed goal there. LAFC and Colorado, 0-0 in the 42nd minute as we speak. 2-1 on aggregate the way of Colorado. This game's being played at BMO Stadium in Los Angeles, but LAFC have not been able to find anything on the offensive side yet. So Colorado holding on in the 42nd minute. Tomorrow, Cincinnati, they'll try to put things away against Motagua with a big lead. RSL scoreless against Herediano in leg one in Costa Rica. Second game in Utah. That will be tomorrow at 8:30 p.m. or 9:30 p.m. And Seattle with a big lead. They will host Antigua of Guatemala. That's a 10:30 kick tomorrow night. Thursday, Vancouver. They will host Saprissa to close out round one of the CONCACAF Champions Cup. Number two on the headlines, the Copa del Rey semifinals today. Absolutely ridiculous. 4-4 draw at Leti. They came back from two goals down after they went up two goals early. Yeah, I'll get through the math here in a second. The second leg will be in Madrid on April 2nd. Julian Alvarez, Antoine Griezmann, they gave Atleti the 2-0 lead in the first 6 minutes. Barcelona made it 2-2 by the 21st minute. Goals from Pedri and Pau Cubarsí Inigo Martinez, he gave Barcelona the lead in the 41st minute. Robert Lewandowski, looks like he puts the game away to make it 4-2 in the 74th minute. But Atleti, they weren't done. Marcos Llorente scored in the 84th. That made it 4-3. And Alexander Sorloth leveled it in the 93rd minute. One of the more ridiculous games you will see. 4-4 between Atletico Madrid and Barcelona. That's just leg one of the Copa del Rey semifinal. April 2nd will be leg two, and that'll be in Madrid. Number three, let's stay on the cup side of things. Third division, Arminia Bielefeld. They upset Bundesliga side Werder Bremen 2-1 in the German Cup quarterfinals this afternoon. Just single legs here, not double legs. Third Bundesliga team that Arminia Bielefeld has knocked out of the cup this season. This is a team that you might remember from George Bello making his move to Europe initially with Arminia Bielefeld. They were relegated out of the Bundesliga in 2022 that season. They fell to the third division in 2023. That's where they stay, but three Bundesliga teams knocked out in this competition. They're going to have to knock out another one in the semifinals. That draw will get completed with the final game in the quarterfinals tomorrow. Number four on the headlines, a big, big game tomorrow night. She Believes Cup. It's essentially a final. This is a round robin tournament, but it's the United States and Japan in San Diego. U.S. women's national team must win. Japan has superior goal differential. The U.S. won 2-1 on the weekend against Australia. Japan won big against Australia, and they won big against Colombia. Going to be a really fun one. And for a team in the U.S. that needs games that have meaning to them, this one does. This one's got pressure on it. This will be a really fun one. 10:30 Eastern time kickoff. It's worth staying up for to see a lot of young players. The youngest lineup for the U.S. women's national team in their second game in this competition since 2001. So all the young talent on display. 10:30 kick tomorrow night. You can watch it on TBS or the Max app in English, Universo, or on the Peacock app in Spanish. Let's close things out in the 3-4-3. Three things that make me smile about this game that I love so much. Number one, Inter Atlanta. They are launching a top soccer program for the first time. This is going to be a free program for kids with intellectual, emotional, or physical disabilities. It'll be on Sundays starting on March 16th for 5 weeks. 100% free. Participants will get a free jersey, free ball, free shin guards. For more information on this program, check out interatlantafc.com/topsoccer. Really happy to see Inter Atlanta launch this program. Other clubs in the Metro Atlanta area have it as well. Happy that another club is offering it to kids who need this kind of an outlet and will now get it at Inter Atlanta at the Arizona Avenue Fields. Number two, things that make me smile. Perseverance. Talked about it in the first segment. Ronnie Dyla talked about it in terms of resilience. It was missing from Atlanta United at times over the past couple of seasons. I think we saw it very late last season. We saw it in game one this season. When you concede a lead twice, have the lead, it comes back to a draw twice. That's a gut punch. That's difficult. You might not get back up off the mat. This Atlanta United team did. That makes you smile. Edwin Mosquera, with the goal that he had, it absolutely makes me smile. Maybe a super sub for this Atlanta United team. When you have Miguel Almiron and Saba Lobjanidze, who can run you into the ground on the wings, and then you bring in Mosquera, who never saw a 1v1 opportunity that he didn't like. It might be 1v2 and he still likes it. 1v3 still likes it. When he dribbled towards the 18 on Saturday and he dropped his shoulder to go to the right, I knew he was shooting. I didn't know where it was going to end up, but I knew he was shooting. Brilliant goal, very similar to the one we saw at Red Bull Arena last season. But this time, it stood up and it counted and it won the match for Atlanta United. And number three, surprises make me smile. I think we saw a good number of them around MLS in week one. San Diego, San Jose. We saw Columbus with a bit of a surprise, some offensive firepower in a team that we weren't sure that had it. Cincinnati with a little bit of a surprise. Philadelphia with a very big surprise. Lots of surprises in week one. It's something that we love about Major League Soccer. It makes it very interesting and it keeps you on your toes as you watch this league. And look, it makes it really difficult to go out and win. Atlanta United did in week one. We'll find out on Saturday if they can do it again on the road this time in week two. Pre-game coverage from Charlotte, North Carolina, 1 o'clock on 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app. Kickoff will be closer to 2:15. Mike Conti and myself will be at Bank of America Stadium. I am very sure that there will be a lot of Atlanta United fans making the trip up I-85. Y'all drive safe. We will be with you from the stadium on Saturday. Hopefully you'll be with us on the radio or on the app. Have a good rest of the week. Adios, everybody.